Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We have continued this week in studying the subject of the importance of obedience in a Christian's life. Today, I want to focus on the danger of partial obedience. We find a very vivid demonstration of the issue of partial obedience to God in the life of King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we find this story. Samuel the prophet, who was the spiritual leader of the nation of Israel at that time in Israel's history, would give Saul advice with regard to what the word of the Lord was. And he came to Saul in verse 1 of chapter 15 of 1 Samuel with these words. Then Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you as king over his people, Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy all that he has and do not spare him, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Then Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the valley. Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart. Go down from among the Amalekites so that I don't destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to the sons of Israel when they came up from Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as you go to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He captured Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to destroy them utterly. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commands." And Samuel was distressed and cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself, then turned and proceeded on down to Gilgal." Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I've carried out the command of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Wait, and let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said, "Speak." Samuel said, "Is it not true, though you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you king over Israel? And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Then Saul said to Samuel, "I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and I have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the choicest of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal." Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have indeed transgressed the command of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and listened to their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. As Samuel turned to go, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to your neighbor who is better than you. Also, the glory of Israel will not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should lie. This story is quite compelling, but it gives us a very vivid illustration of how vital it is to be completely and wholly obedient to the Lord, and how important it is to God that we obey in the whole and not in part. Saul here went on the mission God told him to go on, just as he said to Samuel, but he was not completely obedient to the Lord. He was partially obedient. He did some of what God told him to do, and then he had his own ideas of keeping some of the livestock supposedly for burnt offerings, although that's questionable as to whether that was actually their motives. But he did not obey exactly and completely and fully what God had said. Partial obedience is what we see demonstrated here in 1 Samuel 15. And understand that in God's eyes, partial obedience is disobedience. Many Christians obey God in part. There are some things that they will do and very proudly do, and they will point to those particular areas in which they are obedient while neglecting other areas completely, not obeying God in certain areas of their lives, and yet they'll always point to, but I go to church, or I tithe, or I pray, or I read the Bible to my children at night, and they'll point to certain things as if to take comfort in their obedience to God in those particular areas. And yet God's standard is quite different than the human standard. God's standard is he desires complete obedience, a wholehearted attitude of desire to obey God's word, his commands, his way of doing things. And yet many people are partially obedient and do not realize how very serious that is to God, and how God looks upon it with great sorrow, and that there is a result or a recompense for partial obedience. King Saul was the first king ever installed over the nation of Israel. Prior to that, there had been prophets in the land and leaders of that sort, but never a king. God always had intended to be the king of that nation. Yet the people insisted on having a king so they could be like the other nations around them, and they installed Saul as king, and he had an opportunity to lead that nation with the help of the spiritual leader, prophet Samuel, and he could have been a great king in Israel. And yet his partial obedience disqualified him from leadership. And this is a very important point for us to recognize. We see here in this scripture that the Lord pointed out to him through the words of Samuel that God saw rebellion just in the same light as he saw divination or witchcraft, as the other translation puts it. For a rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft to God. To God, it's just as bad as witchcraft, being in rebellion or disobedience to God. And it goes on to say an insubordination is like iniquity or idolatry. The word insubordination simply means refusal to submit to authority or disobedience. When you are insubordinate to God, you're refusing to submit to his authority. And it says that insubordination is to God the same as idolatry. And idolatry means the worship of idols. And we may have a hard time trying to figure out how insubordination and the worship of idols are the same, and yet consider it this way. People who decide that they can disobey God's word on certain parts have elevated their own ideas to an idol position. In other words, they'll worship at the altar of their own ideas. Well, I don't think God really means that, or God really cares that much about that anymore. They worship their own ideas more than they worship God's commandments or God's heart and God's way of doing things. Don't make an idol and be insubordinate to God's commandments. If you're a businessman, you are a Christian, and you desire to be godly in your way of doing things in your business, and you perhaps tithe from the receipts of your business, and you're a giver, and yet there are areas where you are disobeying God. Perhaps you are not fully divulging to the state government, the federal government, all the proper taxes that you should be paying, and yet you may justify it by saying it's excessive taxation and therefore they're going to ruin business and it's really not right. So therefore I'm not going to report all of the taxes. I'll pay some of this money under the table or however you work that. And you are only partially obedient. You may be obedient to the word of the Lord that says to give, to be a tither and a giver. And yet on the other hand, you are disobedient to God about giving to Caesar what is Caesar's. In other words, paying taxes. Understand, partial obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. And partial obedience brings upon itself a crushing result. You may not see it immediately, but the result will definitely come. God wants you to be wholly obedient to His word in every area of your life with His help and by His grace. We cannot obey God perfectly in our own strength. That will never happen. That's why we needed the new covenant of Jesus' blood and the grace of God and forgiveness of sins, because we cannot keep the law. However, God gives us a Holy Spirit-empowered life if we allow Him to be resident inside of us, and the grace of God to do things God's way. He'll give you the grace to handle your business in a godly way. He'll give you the grace to walk in love toward people who are difficult. God loves you and wants you to prosper and be victorious.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.